function of topological M theory. So so recently there was some development about so-called topological M theory, and this theory tries to capture both perturbative and non-perturbative dynamics of topological strings, and presumably this theory should be formulated in seven dimensions. When we consider compactification of type 2B or type 2A strings, we take our space M to be equal to Calabi-Yau X6 cross R31, and in M theory we introduce extra circle and consider X6 cross S1 as a seven dimensional manifold and compactify M theory on this manifold. Now, topological strings, they compute certain quantities in physical theory on space and space-time, and presumably there is some sector which will be called topological M theory, which computes the quantities in this space. today I focus on one corner of that unknown theory, on B sector. So I will be talking about topological B model on some Calabi-Yau threefold, and corresponding target space, or maybe effective target space formulation for this model. The target space.
So you're looking at a Calabi-Yau threefold times a circle.
I'm going to talk just about Calabi-Yau threefold without circle.
So in what sense is this topological M theory rather than topological string theory?
So I will come later to it, but so far I start with topological strings without M theory effects. So I will come to the notion of Hitchin functionals. Which are certain functionals defined in target space defined for fields in target space. They can be viewed as in some sense real analog of Kadeira-Spencer theory for deformation of complex structures in target space. So let me start from brief reviewing. Well, what we need to know about B model, I think I will introduce plan of my talk. So I will tell a little about B model. Then I define Hitchin functionals. Then I will say about computation about classical and one loop relation. Between the first and the second.
Can
So B model is a topological string, well, which is a certain n equals 2 conformal superconformal field theory of maps of Riemann surface sigma into target space X, twisted in a certain way, so that after twisting we have the following fields. Well, that's maps and twisted fermions, which will be called eta I bar, eta I, and and rho I. So rho I is one form, and sigma, and these fermions are scalars. So after twisting, one can pick up Q Bjerregaard charge, which transform fields in this way. So Q Qxi bar will give us eta I bar. Q eta I bar is equal to zero. Q eta I is equal to zero, and Q rho I is equal G I bar D X I bar. So the Q-based I didn't hear the question.
What does that mean, dxi bar?
D is a derivative, is external derivative on the Riemann surface sigma. Rothschild D.
Theta I doesn't venture anywhere else?
Since no. So from the target space point of view, Q is del bar on target space. And physical states, which are cohomology of Q, correspond to the following operators. We take some element of omega k of lambda 2. Let me say omega q of lambda 2 p of t x.
You want the q of x I zero?
Q of xi is 0. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the two things to note there is the Q of xi and Q of theta are 0. They are not Q of anything.
Right. So to write down operator, we take some element which has a lower anti-holomorphic indices and upper holomorphic indexes, and contract with eta I bars and theta I's. So this operator in worldsheet correspond to this form with values in external product of holomorphic tension bundle, and it can be used to construct deformation of B model. So the case it will be convenient to denote the elements as minus P Q forms. So Q is just for 0, 1 forms, and P stands for external product of holomorphic tangent model. So the case PQ equals 1, 1, that's minus 1, 1 forms, they just usual Beltrami differentials, which can be used to deform complex structure of target space. So B models couples to complex structure deformations of target space, and so the target space theory should be about it. Well, one version of target space theory was discussed several days ago by Sergei Gukov. It was called Kodaira-Spencer theory of gravity, and today I'm going to talk about another version of it. The action was introduced by Hitchin, and it strongly uses special properties of forms in six real dimensions. So what is Hitchin functional? Well, the idea is the following. Let's consider some real manifold X6, of real dimension 6, and let's consider a space of almost complex structure. So the question is to write down some functional so that the critical points of this functional will be integrable complex structures. So we want some functional S on this space so that critical points of S give integrability condition for complex structures. So that's pretty much the same what we had in the Kodaira-Spencer theory, where the basic field was A, which was minus 1, 1 form, Aij bar, or contracted with holomorphic 3-0 form omega, it became 2,1 form A prime, and directions in H to 1 in cohomologies H to 1 just pointed directions of deformations for complex structures. One can notice that to formulate the Kodaira-Spencer theory, one has to introduce some background. Mainly, one has to start from some integrable complex structure and holomorphic 3-0 form, and after picking up the background, one can write down the theory of deformations from that point. Here, the story will go in slightly different way. it can be said that Hessian functional is a little bit less background dependent than Kaderi-Spencer theory. So, what is precise formulation? Well, the formulation of that functional is based on the following properties of three forms in six dimensions. So, the idea is the following. Consider some three form one can show that under certain stability condition three form in six dimensions can be always decomposed into a sum of products of one forms, like moreover, this decomposition into the sum of alpha and beta is unique after permutation of alpha and beta. Well, we can
alpha 1, alpha 2, alpha 3 are three different.
Alpha 1, 2, 3 are one forms. And yep. They're different if alpha is not zero. The same is about beta.
Well, it's not really, I mean, you can multiply different factors on the alphas and move them around, so it's more non-uniqueness.
Say it again, please. You want to multiply this on some factor?
By two and the next one by half. The alpha 2 by half.
Well, you can act by SL3 on this alpha 1, alpha 2, and alpha 3, but you can't change the product alpha itself.
So I'm just wondering what the uniqueness is.
I mean, the one forms are not uniquely defined, but alpha and beta is defined uniquely up to permutation alpha and beta between each other. So we can check this argument by dimension counting. So let's compute dimensions of three forms in six dimensional space. It will be this. So it's 20. This dimension of lambda 3 of Tx star. So the dimension of SL, let's say, of GL6 group, which acts on arbitrary element, is equal to to 36. So if we start from some canonical three form, like we pick up some bases and write down E1, which E2, which E3, plus E4, which E5, which E6, and then deform this three form by arbitrary element of GL6 to get some form in the neighborhood. So let's compute the dimension of that space. So we have 36 dimensional group GL6, which acts on the form, and the stabilizer will be SL3 cross SL3, because when we act by SL3 groups on these factors, you need to go away. So the dimension of a factor will be equal. Will be equal to 36 minus dimension of that guy, that's 8 plus 8, so that's 20. So by dimensional counting, we see that any stable 3 form can be obtained by action of GL6 from this canonical 3 form. And that means, and stable, and stable means that it lies in, well, that the action of GL6 on this form, the orbit of that action is open. So it, by acting by GL6, we can give any form in local neighborhood.
There might be another component. We have to prove it. Prove more, right?
Well, maybe we have to prove more, but that's just a rough idea. So, so far I didn't specify anything about reality or complex condition. We can treat this as formulated on complex six-dimensional space for complex three forms, not to deal with algebraic condition for that form. But if you want to impose a reality condition, so let's say that we want to consider real forms, we will treat them as a complex form, which is complex conjugate to itself. And from this statement about decomposition of complex form into the sum of alpha plus beta, we see that alpha plus beta is equal to alpha plus beta bar. So we have two options. One option is each of these forms is real. Another option is that they are conjugate to each other. So forms which describe almost complex structures are of this kind. And if we look locally, just in this linear space, So what is the
Yes. Did you hear what you said when you wrote the arrow? I didn't hear what you said.
When I wrote
that little arrow pointing at case 2.
Ah, okay. So this case is a relevant case for description of almost complex structures. The idea is that the forms alpha 1, alpha 2, and alpha 3, they just give holomorphic directions in the tangent space, and beta 1, beta 2, and beta 3 gives anti-holomorphic directions in tangent space. So given any form rho of given any real form rho of this type, and the type is just some positivity condition, we can construct almost complex structure from that three form. So now,
yes. Almost complex structure is a 1,1 tensor. It's not really a form, unless you start pulling down indices with a metric, etc. So how do you construct?
Almost complex structure is a splitting of the complexified tangent bundle. So it gives a splitting by the alphas. It's a splitting into the holomorphic and anti-holomorphic parts. You're giving it by the alphas and the betas.
Right.
But how do I construct the almost complex structure from alphas and betas?
They give you two subspaces of the complexified tangent space, which are transversal and related by conjugation. And that's the that's another definition of a complex structure on a real space.
But it's almost This is almost complex.
Almost complex structure. Because I didn't say something about integrability condition.
Yeah,
just
one, so he's I think he's asking even at one point how
that's
a complex structure. First, if you can explain a little more in the language, how do you read off DZ1, which DZ2, which DZ3 from that decomposition? That's what I think. Or what is a complex structure at one point? He wants to understand. If you explain that, I think that would be his question.
So complex structure at one point, as was mentioned, is decomposition of total space into direct sum of holomorphic and anti-holomorphic spaces of half dimensions. So we introduce coordinates z and z bar, which are complex conjugate to each other, and they span half-dimensional space. So that what precisely happens with alpha and beta.
So for example, you can pair up alpha, each alpha with one beta, and think about this as x plus i bar. And this is unique up to an SL3 action on the betas. And that's exactly the same of ambiguity of choice of what you mean by z's at a given coordinate.
Okay, I understand a bit better.
Right. Okay, now let's construct following hitching the functional, the critical points of which will give us integrable complex structures on six-dimensional manifold. So first of all, we introduce the following operator. Well, let's say we have some real 3 form of type 2, that is the decomposition of which will give almost complex structure. And consider the following operator K, which maps some vector V into an element of lambda 2 5 of Tx star into 5 form. And it it maps by the following operation. We contract V with 3 form rho and then wedge with 3 form rho. So this is 2 form, this is 3 form, and the wedge product will be 5 form. Now, the space of 5 forms we can identify with lambda to 6 of Tx star tensor product Tx. In other words, picking up some epsilon antisymmetric tensor and contracting with 5 form, we can get a vector. So if you take a trace of K squared, by trace of K squared, I mean contracting of indices of map Tx to Tx with values. And just remembering that they're valued in lambda 6 of Tx star. Then trace of K squared will be valued in lambda 6 of Tx star squared. And if I take square root of this operator, it will be valued in lambda 6 of Tx star. So one can, as we started, that's just a functional of 3 form rho.
Everything you're writing is over C or over R?
Now I'm writing over R.
Do you have to worry about the orientation here?
Well, Well, actually, I'd like to pick up some orientation from beginning and then to consider only local deformations of it. So all considerations are local, and we start from some point and keeping that orientation.
For the physicists here.
Yes.
For the old physicists here.
Yes.
Could you just write trace K squared out?
I can write in components.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's say we have some rho form, rho I1, I3, okay? So operator KAB, we can construct as following. We take two, three forms. So then we contract with the epsilon, leaving one index of it. So we'll take like that, and like that, I2, I3, G1, G2, G3. So that's KAB, which is a function of three form rho. And then we take trace of this matrix squared and extract square root, and that element transforms as a form of the highest dimensional manifold. So we can integrate it over the manifold, and that's what is Hinchin functional about. So S of rho of real three form of type 2 is equal to the integral of that guy. And rho is always can be represented as alpha plus beta, where alpha and beta are some three forms. And now one can rewrite that in terms of alpha and beta, and that's simply alpha of h beta. So in this notation, it looks pretty simple, but in terms of three-form rho, one can notice that the functional is highly nonlinear. So in components, it is, K is the second order in rho, and trace K squared is fourth order in rho. So what we integrate here is some square root of some polynomial of the fourth order in components of rho. So alpha and beta can be determined by rho, but non-linear way. Well, so another thing to introduce is the notion of a 3-0 form.
If you take alpha to be the variable.
If I take alpha and beta variable, I will
well,
not...
alpha beta variable. Yeah. And beta
is alpha
determined.
Bar.
Yeah, beta is determined.
Beta is just alpha bar by your assumption. Right?
So it's a quadratic function of alpha.
Positive.
But alpha is determined not... Well, I will mention later why the basic variable should be rho, not alpha. It is convenient for our primary task to define functional such that critical points would be integrable complex structure. If I take alpha and beta, if I take alpha primary variable, I can't obtain this goal. But in terms of nonlinear function of rho, it can be done. So I'm coming to that. So let me introduce the notion of a holomorphic 3-0 form. Holomorphic, I'm talking just like in point that so far I have only almost complex structures, so I can say about type of form without an elasticity condition. And 3-0 form will be, well, if I have rho as alpha plus beta, and beta is complex conjugate of alpha, so alpha plus alpha bar, then holomorphic 3-0 form omega, I will take it as alpha.
So any function times alpha is a 3-0 form.
Huh?
Any function times alpha is a general 3-0 form.
Yeah, it's general three-zero form. Because so far we don't mention analysis condition. So that's the same as omega h omega bar after some factor. Well, now. Okay, now we do the following. Now we restrict the functional as on the space of closed three forms. So we restrict it to the space d rho is equal to zero, and we moreover we fix cohomology class of rho. So we restrict it to space of rho is equal some cohomology class rho zero. Well, some element, some representative of that cohomology class, plus exact form. Exact form which is written as D of two form. So, this is the point where it's convenient to use as basic variable the form rho, not alpha or beta itself.
Did you say restrict? What's the word you wrote there?
Restrict, sorry. Yes. So we consider now the space. So the space of almost complex structures was locally identified with the space of three forms, right? Now we take subset of that space, we take closed three forms. We can write that in a physical or functional integral theory as a Lagrange multiplier, so we can write it as d rho h some auxiliary field and integrate over that field to obtain condition of d rho being closed. But another option is just say that we consider deformations inside some cohomology class.
You know, you can either say you enlarge your space or decrease the space.
You decrease the space.
I'm saying with that auxiliary field, you're enlarging the space.
Right.
So you could say two lambda.
Mm-hmm.
So this corresponds to only deforming in the direction keeping C1, I mean, keeping a holomorphic reform in the game? Or does this correspond to all deformations up to equivalence?
Well, we will see it just in a second. So we said that we want to construct complex structure from almost holomorphic 3-0 form. Well, let me say it not in this way. Once again, the basic variable is rho, which is a sum of alpha and alpha bar. So, if d rho is equal to zero, we have just d of alpha plus alpha bar is equal to zero. Now, what I want is to obtain condition d of alpha minus alpha bar to be equal to zero. And given these two conditions, we can conclude that d alpha is equal to zero. So that almost holomorphic 3-0 form is actually closed. And from that, we'll follow integrability condition condition for the almost complex structure. So this condition d of alpha minus alpha bar to be equal to zero is actually an equation of motion of this functional. Its critical point.
When you vary with respect to b.
When we vary with respect to b, that's correct. So if you write, let me denote this combination as rho hat, well actually as I rho hat. So rho, I will write it in words, rho is a real part of holomorphic 3-0 form, and rho hat is imaginary part of holomorphic 3-0 form, so omega is equal to rho plus I rho hat.
If you look at alpha wedge beta.
Yeah.
You can rewrite that as alpha wedge rho.
Right. I'm kind of that.
Okay.
So what we have is rho wedge rho hat. Where rho is some rho zero plus dB. So you want to compute variation of S over beta. So we need to vary rho and rho hat. So that's d rho vh rho hat plus rho vh d rho hat. Well, this piece we know. This is just the d of variation of b. But what about this piece? What is variation of d rho hat in terms of variation of rho? Rho hat was defined as some nonlinear function of rho. Anyway, this variation it can be easily argued that this piece is equal to this piece, and that's because the function s, this one, it's a homogeneous function in components of rho of the second order. So that's why these two variations are equal, and we will have just 2 0 of each rho hat. So that's 2 d of delta b which rho hat. So in the critical point, we will have condition d of rho hat is equal to zero. So now, given 3-0 form with respect to some almost complex structure and the condition that it is closed, using Frobenius theory, one can show that the integrability condition for the almost complex structure follows from this condition. From the condition d omega is equal to zero, you have integrability of complex structure. So that's the story about formulation of Hitchin functional. Now we are coming to the physical part of
the
problem.
So this only gives the complex structures which preserve the idea of having a holomorphic volume element.
That's right. So
it's not the general.
That's not the general. That's not the general.
Not the same, abstractly, no longer. Kalamath is the same.
So let's summarize what we got. We've got that if we fix some element of H3 of X real, some 3 form, then by using procedure with Hitchin functional, we can obtain integrable complex structure together with holomorphic 3-0 form. And 3-0 form omega. Moreover, it's easy to show that this functional is non-degenerate up to diffeomorphism group of the manifold. So that means that locally, neighborhood of real third cohomologies of X parameterizes Calabi-Yau structures on manifold X. So
that's just
for an open
set in H3
of X. For an open set, yeah, locally, in local neighborhood. So compared with the Kodera-Spencer formulation or maybe a B-model formulation, we now have the following picture. So modular space of Calabi-Yau structures in Hitchin formulation is parameterized by real third cohomologies, while in B-model or Kodera-Spencer theory, it was parameterized as H3-0 plus H2 1. Well, that is that piece corresponds to deformation of complex structure, and this piece corresponds to deformation of omega holomorphic 3-0 form. Now, the dimension is the same, of course, because here we take only one half. We don't consider H12 and H03, but these are complex spaces and this is real space. So the dimension is the same, but the description is different. And
the word is different.
The description is different. And physically, the coordinates in this space of third cohomologies, in real third cohomologies of X, so the change between this set of coordinates into this set of coordinates is given by the Gendre transform with respect to imaginary part of omega. With respect to imaginary part of holomorphic 3-0 form. So now what we have? Okay, that's the functional. The integral of, let me write in this way, of omega v h omega bar. And is defined on a space inside some homology class, rho 0 plus db. So in the critical point, I mean for b such that omega is closed, we have s is equal just holomorphic. Well, s is equal just volume of the manifold. It's integral of omega h omega bar. Now, if we introduce the A and B periods, mean we choose basis in the third homologies of X, and consider variables xi integrals over A periods of omega and fi integrals over B periods of omega, then then by Riemann bilinear relation, we can rewrite this as the sum of x f bar minus x bar f. So that's S-Hitchin. So that's S-Hitchin, and it's a function of real of xi and real of fi. While F0 B model.
Sorry, why is it function the real parts? In the explicit form you've written down, it seems to depend not just on the real parts. Understand.
Well, that's how it was defined. It was defined.
Yeah, but the right hand side.
No, you mean Hitchin functional evaluated at the solution. Is that what you mean?
Hitchin functional evaluated at the solution.
It's talking about the value of the action at the solution.
Yeah, in the critical point. So, what I'm trying to do now? Now I'm trying to consider this theory as a quantum field theory, and. First of all, to take the classical partition function of the theory, I need just to take the functional in its critical point, in its minimum. So the free energy, the classical free energy, will be given by this expression. And the classical free energy in genus zero energy of B model was just holomorphic sum fi xi. So f of b model f0 b is a function of real xi and im xi. So usually we choose coordinates xi on the space of complex structures together with holomorphic 3-0 form, and then fi's are just functions of x, and so the coordinates in real description, the coordinates is real part of x and im part of x. Now here we have real part of x and real part of f, and one can show that the transformation between this and this just from classical geometry is a Legendre transform in in real part of fi if you go from that side, or in im part of xi if you go from that side. So that's a classical part. Now we are coming to quantum computation. The quantum computation starts from one loop, and one loop computation is just the following: you expand the action up to quadratic order and compute Gaussian integral. That is, we compute determinants of kinetic operators or determinants of the quadratic part of the action. So what is F1 loop of, let's say, of Hitchin functional?
How much work time do you need? Is the right point to do the paper?
I think that's a good idea, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.